I'd like to call to order this Medina Township Trustees regular meeting for February 3rd of 2022. The time is now 7 o'clock. Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Eastwood?
Here.
Mr. Christopher?
Here.
All right, we always start a meeting with a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now I'd like to ask for a moment of silence. In particular tonight, I'd like to put a moment of silence in here, an extra prayer for Chief Neal's mother who had passed away. I'd also like to add another prayer for our service department and our safety services that are out there working this snowstorm. First on our agenda tonight is the approval of payroll. I'd like to make a motion to approve payroll with checks dated, or check date of 2/04/22 for the amount of $48,618.58 with deductions, withholdings, and liabilities of $10,511.86. And I'd like to add this two-page document as a reference.
Second.
Any other discussion on this?
No. Okay. Roll call.
Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
And I will have told her it's approved.
All right. Next on our list is approval of site plans. We have a few of them. First one is for Northeast Ohio Eye Surgeons, located at 4463 Weymouth Road. I motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Commission and approve the face replacement on the existing ground sign for Northeast Ohio Surgeons, located at 4463 Weymouth Road, not to exceed 8.375 square feet, as presented.
Second.
Any discussion on this? It's just a new eye care thing where we're spending.
I've looked at those.
Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
I think they're all signed.
Yeah, they are.
All right.
But there was nothing new that we had to do.
Signed so many things. Next is the APPC Plumbing. I'd like to motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Commission and approve the replacement of the cabinet on the existing ground sign to a digital reader sign for APPC Plumbing, located at 3247 Pearl Road, not to exceed 26.46 square feet, as presented.
Second.
Any discussion on this one? All right, can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
All right. Next one is Easter Seals, Northern Ohio. I motion to accept the recommendations of the Zoning Commission to approve the change of use for Easter Seals Northern Ohio to be located at 5041 Victor Drive, as presented.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Mm-hmm. Roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
All right. The next one. Part B. I motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Commission to approve a tenant panel to be placed on the existing ground sign for Easter Seals Northern Ohio, located at 5041 Victor Drive, not to exceed 5.67 square feet, as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
And Part C. I motion to accept the recommendation of the Zoning Commission to approve a directional sign to be placed next to the door for Easter Seals Northern Ohio, located at 5041 Victor Drive, not to exceed 0.5 square feet, as presented.
Second.
No discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
I'm sorry. Okay. So that is the site plans. The next is approval of supplemental appropriations. I have a fund reallocation resolution, is that what that is? You said some of these were out of order or not?
The 10. 10 should be the fund reallocation, number 10.
Okay, just want to make sure. All right. Yep, 10 and 11. All right. I move to adopt resolution 02032022-010 to approve the supplemental appropriation reallocation of funds from line 2273-110-720-0000 buildings to line 2273-220-323-0000 repairs and maintenance for the amount of $2,050.00.
I'll second.
Any discussion on this one?
No.
All right. Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Okay, next one is the ARP status allowance acceptance. I move to adopt resolution number 02032022-011 for Medina Township to elect to use American Rescue Plan Act standard allowance and its presumption of revenue loss due to the public health emergencies and incorporate this four-page document by reference.
I'll second.
Discussion on this one? Yeah, basically just moving stuff from the ARP thing, trying to use it. So there are a lot of places for us to sign on this. So,
well, ask the crowd to be patient.
Yeah. Of course, it's against the lefty.
Don't get them out of the way.
This is where you have to fill in the trustees for first and second. You'll fill that in. Yeah. We don't have to sign that part. Okay. Basically, front and back.
That was.
He'll fill that in.
Yeah.
Just back on the last page. He's got four spots.
There's that one
there.
You check. I think you got called on.
Oh, always. Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Doug has one job over here. It's the first page and the last page.
Can I give him that paper clip for any reason?
Yeah. All right. ARP project funding. I move to adopt resolution number 02032022-012 for the Medina Township to elect the use of American Rescue Plan Act standard allowance and its presumption of revenue loss due to the public health emergency and to use the amounts authorized herein to fund government services and incorporate this four-page document by reference.
Second.
Yeah. Any discussion? Yeah. Roll call, please.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Chuck. On this one?
He'll fill that part. Okay. Just because that's the second and the first. So it's all right. Built. All
right. Just those two spots?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want that one also. We're going to 12, right? All right. I'd like to make a motion to do a then and now purchase order. The vendor for this was going to be Legal and Liability Risk Management Institute. The item description is the online TikTok and Snapchat training for the PD. And the amount is $150.
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion on this one?
How many people get to take advantage of that, Chief?
Pretty much everybody does.
Okay. Great.
It's all online.
Someone comes crashing through my fence because they say it was a TikTok challenge. Is that what it applies?
Roll call, please.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Get me all shook up.
I'm just thinking of that next pile. Now we go to the real purchase orders and training requests. Doug, do you have any purchase orders or training requests?
Nothing that's, no.
All right. Do you have any purchase orders or training requests, please?
Oh. I make a motion to adopt, this is for case of safety flares. This is dated for the police department. This is dated 2/3/22, and it's Orton Safety Products in the amount of $459.89.
Second.
Any other discussion on this one? No. Okay, can I get a roll call?
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye. All right, any more?
I'd like to make a motion. Again, this is for the police department. I'd like to make a motion to approve. This is for tire, Goodyear tires from Tire Source, dated 2/3/22, for one car, new tires, in the amount of $736.99.
Second.
Any other discussion? Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
One more. I have a motion. This is, again, from the police department, dated 2/3/22. This is for Gateway Tire. It's for repairs to car number 3 in the amount of $1,856.63.
Second.
Any other discussion on this one? All right. Roll call, please.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye. Is that all for you?
That's all right. Orders.
I have a few here, so. First one, I would like to make a motion for a purchase order requisition. The department is admin. The vendor is going to be John A. Burke, Medina County Treasurer. The description of this is a full year real estate taxes for 3 township properties in the amount of $18,000.08.
I'll second.
No discussion. Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Next one is, I'd like to make a purchase order requisition. The department is admin. The vendor information will be the Medina County Finance Department. The description is a 2022 annual fee for the EPA Phase 2 and the NPDES-MSH Stormwater Program. The amount is $1,850.
I'll second.
Any discussion on this one?
No.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Another one. I'd like to make a motion for a purchase order requisition. The department is the ARPS Fund. The vendor is Albright Security Center. Description is install a new door electronic lock set on 2 man doors at fire station number 6 in the amount of of $2,050.00.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
No.
All right, can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Did I get all roll calls on those now? All right. Now there's a new one for me. So I would like to make a motion to rescind this training request from our January 20th, 22 meeting for a fact of lack of funds. This will be the training request for field training, an officer training for Halle Berry.
Second.
Any discussion on this one?
No.
All right. Do I sign this anywhere, even though there's a...
Nope. No, sure.
All right, so we just rescinded it. All right, that was an easy one.
Do you need a roll call?
Did I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
All right. So that is the end of purchase orders and training requests.
I've got one. I'm not sure if this should go under purchase order or not. I'll tell you what it is and you can tell me.
All right.
This one is an amendment to a purchase order or training. So should it go under here or?
That's one Chairman Johnson just took care of.
This,
yes, sir.
That should go under.
It's already done.
I just did it. That's the one I just did.
That's the one. Okay.
That's the one. I think I rescinded it.
Okay.
Okay. So approval of accounts payable. So I'd like to make a motion to approve accounts payable from 1/20 of 2022 to 2/4 of 2022, starting with electronic checks 8-2022 and going to 11-2022, and physical checks 31936 to 31957 for the total amount of $108,219.29. And I'd like to add this one page document as reference.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
No.
All right. Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
I'd like to make a motion to approve our bank reconciliation for dates of 12/31 of 2021.
It's for December.
12/31 of 2021.
Okay.
December?
Yeah.
All right, December 20. Is there anything else you want to say on this? There's nothing else highlighted.
No, it's just the bank reconciliation for December.
All right, and I'll add this three-page document as reference.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Oh, can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Chuck, I'm sure this going on. This is the change to the contract, Lieutenant. So should that been... Should I read that? Should I made a motion under contract?
I think we do that because in the future, yeah, no. Add another one.
No business.
Okay. Yeah, that's the first I saw. Revenue status. I'd like to make a motion to approve revenue status as of 12/31 of 2021 and add this seven-page document as reference.
2022?
No, this is as of 12/31 of 2021.
Okay. Oh, yes, December. I'm sorry.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
See, I'm programmed just to read what's highlighted.
It's not all bad.
Nice highlight. All right. I'd like to make a motion to approve fund status as of 12/31 of 2021 and add this one-page document for reference.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
I don't know where to spot out on this carpet.
alarms is listed.
Credit card attestation. I, Chuck Johnson, Chairman of the Board of Trustees of Medina Township, Ohio, hereby and attest to pursuant to Section 505.64 of the Ohio Revised Code, at its meeting on February 3rd of 2022, the board reviewed the credit card account transaction detail for each account listed below for the dates of January 6th of 2022 through February 1st of 2022, as provided by the fiscal officer. The credit card accounts Amazon, E&H, which is Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, PNC Bank, Staples, Tractor Supply, and Walmart. At this time, do we want to make a motion to open up the public comment?
I'd like to make a motion to open up the public comment.
Second.
Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye. Does the public have any comment over the things that we just accomplished?
No comment.
All right, so at this time, I'd like to make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Any discussion on that? Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
All right. So, new business trustees comments.
Well, I wanted to just pass on an appreciation to the township to allow us, from allowing us to go down to that convention and the things that we were able to pick up on. And I appreciate, obviously not being in this position before, you know, I picked up a lot, but I also realize it's like we just hit high spots. So some of the things, and I mentioned to Nick earlier, is like on this ARPS funding, even though it may cost some money to have that law firm explain to us some more detailed uses, when you have that kind of volume of money at your dispense, I think that I'd like to have further discussion about bringing them in to give us some guidance in that part, so we can maximize it with certainty. So that was one of the things I wanted to talk about.
Well, it was one of the meetings that I went to too, was the second part of that, where they just talked about what you can spend, because I think our biggest questions have always been, like, you get this money, but your hands are tied on what you can spend it on. You can only buy so much PPE and stuff like that. So it was nice that they kind of loosened that restraint, and gave you a wider, you know, variety of things that we can spend it on, which makes it a lot easier on townships, you know, instead of trying to be creative, you know.
And one of the things that we were going through is how that spending is recorded, resolutions and motions, and that's something we need to to verify, and because it makes Angela's job a lot harder, but they want it everything detailed. So that's, you know, the critical thing. So.
Well, that was the one big thing that they stressed, everything.
Yep.
Detailed and why you feel
right.
It was.
Not just where it was going, but why you felt it applied to that ARPS money.
just to, you know, I thought the conference was very good. Being the first time in the position all of 2 months, there was a lot to learn, and you realize how much more there is to learn. So it gave a good insight, but it was also good to talk to other townships and find out how they do things and get some idea. Is there better ways? Are there better ways to do some of the things that we're doing? It was very beneficial in that regard too. And also found out there's no clear cut. When you talk to attorneys, one of the last guys I talked to, I said, well, you're the third one that I've talked to. So far, I've got 3 different answers. He started laughing. He goes, well, if you talk to 10, you'll get 10 different answers. I said, thanks a lot. So, sorry, Mike. But it was a good conference.
In a previous meeting, I talked about trying to improve our communication as liaisons with our groups. And I think it's coming around. I think more and more of that's taking place. We got to spend some time with the PD over the last couple of weeks with their, you know, looking into some software that will help the payroll.
Absolutely.
And you know, I'm eager.
I think that's one of our next main focuses, is to get that under control. You know, that's been a problem long enough. And I think we're making some grounds on it, right?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, it's, nothing's ever easy, but I think that, I think that's the next big hurdle there. Denny and I talk quite a bit. In fact, he just called a little bit ago. He goes, he would like to be at these meetings more so. And he said he'd been up a little while, and it was all the same to me. He'd like to get him and his guys home to get some sleep before they have to start this game all over again. So, absolutely, I said, go for it. But we're talking during the day, but after hours a lot too, because it just works well, for me somehow.
I work a full-time job, so it's hard during the day. So, like, at least with, now with Chrissy, what's working, I'm trying to do a trial thing. She calls me every day. Okay. You know, we got a set time, so I try to make myself free for it. It's good for us for communication purposes, just because we're not here all day. We don't know what's going on. But it's good to get that recap at the end of the day, you know. So I think it's been working out. I think we got some good ideas and some plans, and we'll be looking at moving forward. A couple things are like doing the calendar. You know, we have, you know, especially after going to OTAs, we have all these different due dates and everything. And I do these calendars for other companies where they have them out on the wall, like this one, they're highlighted. It's a little bit more visible. I offered to donate the printing for it to make it more legible for us to see over there. And, you know, the same thing with putting employees' birth dates on there, putting their anniversary dates on there, because some of these things, they just pop up on us, you know, and it's too late. I know we've run into it with the roads department, where the anniversary date comes up, you know, there's a vacation, there's a snowstorm, you don't know, you know, so just seeing it coming and having a physical thing like that, I thought would be something good to do.
Do we have an electronic calendar in place at this point where that kind of information,
yeah.
Is it township-wide or just department-wide?
They have it in paychecks, too.
Well, Word has a one, too, that you can kind of just fill it in and stuff like that. So.
Right, we have it in our what a program called Schedule Anywhere. It's in our schedule.
So just ideas, especially like with, you know, employees' birthdays and stuff like that.
It'd be nice to have a central one that has everybody in for that purpose.
Yes, you don't want to have two different or multiple things, because it just gets confusing. To build a little bit on what Trustee Eastwood said, as I alluded to, you talk to other townships and you get the ideas of what they're doing. And on the police department, that's one of the things that I talk to people about, how they handle different things in their police department as far as logging in, things like that. And along with talking to police departments in the area where I know police on different forces. And they've given us some ideas. I've talked to Angela at length today, partly about that, and she's receptive to it. Not saying we're going to do it tomorrow, but she's receptive to it. And I think that by doing that, by opening, having a bigger window, it would alleviate a lot of the potential problems or challenges that we're seeing right now with the timesheets. Other police departments also, if you're scheduled for 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours, they don't care if you sign in a half an hour early or 15 minutes late, you're getting paid for that time. Unless if you're coming back to the station and there's a robbery
you say
going
you're getting,
on,
you're
something's
getting paid for your time. Is it, are you getting paid for your shift, or are you getting paid for the extra 20 minutes and the extra
No, you're
50?
Getting paid for your shift.
Right, period. Okay. I just want to make sure that's
how I'm sorry. You're just getting paid for your shift.
That just shows that you showed up and you left, you know?
Right.
It makes sense to me.
And that would be a tremendous thing to have. There are people that, well, this, that, or the other thing as far as when did somebody clock in, but I found out from, you know, hanging around the police station a little bit, that there's another county system that you have to log into so they know who's on.
Just countywide, okay. Yeah.
And so they're already logging into something, and so we've got a login situation there, and they could have logged in a half an hour ahead of time, and then they have to log in this 5 minute window, and if they miss that 5 minute window,
then we're chasing our tails for these pennies, and hours are being spent. Angela's spending hours. I'm talking, Doug's talking to her, you know, we're all talking about chasing these 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it is. And so I think that there are better ways to do it, and that's why I've been talking to other police forces. And I think that down the road we'll work to getting to that, because it would solve so many of our problems.
Sir, are we still then having a lot of problems?
Still with, yeah, with the, and, you know, it's just the schedule. If somebody's here 5 minutes early, all right, it's computing at that time, and it's not screwing up the payroll, the actual physical calculations.
Yeah, you'd almost think that if you could just have them punch in and punch out before and after their thing, and they get paid for their shift, it would be the simplest thing in the world. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it never seems that, nothing ever seems simple around here.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to get it to, is mm-hmm. to simplify it.
And if this leaves the window open, obviously, if there's approved, you know, if there's approved overtime, because there will be circumstances.
Absolutely.
That's not saying they won't get overtime in those conditions. We're just not going to chase our tail over these 0.05 hours.
Yeah. We even talked about it. We said, if the officer's coming back to the station and all of a sudden there's a robbery going on or an mm-hmm. accident, and they just say, hey, I got to be there, I can't just go clock out, they're going to get paid for the overtime. There's got to be some kind of common sense in the thing. But if they're just hanging around drinking coffee, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, you're right.
They shouldn't get paid for it. And if they've been there 15 or 20 minutes or half an hour early, and they're trying to clock in this 5 minute window.
You were in,
well,
right there in my office yesterday. And
I said, hey, let me show you this, and it took me 14 minutes to log on. So I could have been there, you know, in plenty of time, and it would have shown me, or 1 minute early, and it would have shown me 13, 14 minutes late. So I think we have to, but we also need professionalism. We absolutely need, the officers are going to have to really step up and make sure that their sheets, you know, things are accurate, the accruals make sense. The accruals, I think, are going to be the biggest thing. And we saw some examples this week where somebody put the wrong date in on those things. And so I told the police, I said, if we do some of these things, you have to make the department look good, and you have to make the chief look good, and you have to make me look good. Because if it doesn't, then it's going to go back to the other. And that is a threat, but then people are going to say, why did we ever leave the other? And it's just going to be a headache. So I think we just have to work in that direction. So.
One of the things we had talked about in having a second person in the admin office here and trying to get her some more time to shadow with Nick to learn, you know, they didn't have a lot of time together. And so there was a thought of how do we increase that time? And I'd like us to at least be open to an idea. It's not like something we have to act on right now, but right now we generally have someone here from 9 to 5, and Nick comes in early sometimes to take care of stuff that he feels it's beneficial.
His shift is 7.
It is 7?
He's been coming at 7, right, Nick?
Yes.
Okay. So what is your norm? What is your shift now? 7 to 1.
7 to 1.
Okay. So I'm proposing that we at least take Chrissy and bump her, shorten her up an hour, so that
not shorten
the shift, just bump the shift up an hour.
Bump her up.
So it gives them one.
So she's there earlier.
So she's there an hour earlier, and she'll leave an hour earlier.
At 4.
And I personally don't see any reason why we have to have somebody here. I mean, a lot of times we had people gone longer times, and we talked to townships that don't even have people in the buildings.
Elena's here till 5.
Right.
And even if we did have a busy day too or something like that, if Nick were to bump the other direction and go from 8 to 2 or whatever, then you have almost a complete overlap except for just the beginning part and the second part when it's needed, you know. And I also, you know, again, talking with Chrissy every day, you know, Friday morning after a meeting like this, I gave her, you know, just, again, all I want to do is let me know, inform mm-hmm. me. But I told her to come in early and go over the things that you need to go with over the meeting, you know, the day before, because, again, these are things that she had stressed that she would like to learn, you know, because Nick is doing them before she gets in. And I said, I'm completely fine with that. We just have to schedule it and let me know, you know, because mm-hmm. anytime you change your schedule, you should let your headman know.
Yeah.
And I was going to, Nick, I was going to send you an email on this, but particularly since Trustee Eastwood brought this up as far as changing hours, so there'd be more of an overlap.
I don't think it's like a permanent change right now. We're still trying to do the education thing.
Pardon?
It's not a permanent change.
So there would be that change now,
right.
because a resident got in touch with me and said, hey, our meeting minutes aren't up to date. And yes, they can listen to them, but they were looking for the type meeting minutes. And I know you're swamped, and I know it's going to take a little bit more of your time in the beginning, but if you could start to teach Chrissy how to do that and then let her do it and critique it and until she gets good and competent in it, and that way she can take that load off of you, because that way that would free up your time, or hopefully, you know, a substantial amount of your time.
Yeah, I already notified Chuck that I was going to start that next week.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. I just, you know, that's great.
No, like I said, I think
we don't get to talk a lot. So.
All right.
Sure.
That's a good
thing. Sure.
If you want to read that, sure. That, I mean,
okay. This is going to be.
Yeah, read it up and explain it to us.
You know, this is for the police department, but I make a motion. This will be amending Lieutenant Zija's contract. It will have this in it: the police lieutenant's official start date shall be January 2nd, 2022. The police lieutenant shall carry over 160 hours of his accumulated vacation time for 2022 only. The police lieutenant shall lose 18.462 hours of accrued vacation from January 1 to January 15th and January 29th. The police lieutenant will receive 160 hours of vacation time annually on January 1st of each fiscal year starting January 1st, 2023. The police lieutenant shall be paid out 102 hours of his previous accrued vacation time at the lieutenant's current wages. This is a $269.28 difference between his sergeant and lieutenant wages. According to his accruals and paycheck, Lieutenant Zija lost 21.999 hours of vacation time on January 1, 2022.
Second that. No, I second it. Discussion.
Any comments?
No, I'm pretty familiar with that conversation. I was hoping maybe there'd be an easier way to do the motion and the thing, but
that was a good one.
that was a long one, but I think it's been made and it's been seconded. So
well, yeah, it's in the record. So I can get a roll call.
Mr. Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Johnson.
Aye.
Aye.
And just because we second it just means we open it to discussion. So it wasn't like, I was just like reading it and soaking it all in. That was a lot of hours. So.
We spent a lot of time working through that.
Well, it's hard when you transition from
It is. It's not like something's going to happen every week.
All right. So going on, I'm going to do approval of previous minutes. I'd like to make a motion to approve our minutes for the November 11th, 2021 regular trustees meeting. All trustees were there except for Bruce. So it was then Trustee Stopa, Eastwood, and Johnson.
A second.
Any other discussion on this one? I get a roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Abstain.
Just started. It's in there. It's been a long meeting.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think that one is just a lot of meeting notes. It's a good time, I'll do this amendment here. I move to amend the previous motion for the 2022 OTA Winter Conference to start, or to state that the start travel date of January 25th, 2022 instead of the January 26th, 22.
Second.
Discussion on this one? This is basically, we had made a motion. I was under the impression that everybody was going down for Wednesday night and Thursday night, and just with talking it through and stuff, a few people decided that Tuesday was going to be more pertinent with drive time with a 9 o'clock meeting on Wednesday. So even though we had made that motion, when it goes, we have to get it approved. So that's what the name, you know, the reason for this amendment. Roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
We don't have to sign anything, right?
Yeah.
No signatures. Yeah. All right, next one on the docket here is surplus township property discussion. Who wants to start this one? Want me to start this one, or you want to start this one?
Well, I can start it in that pretty much ever since I got on the board, we've had this discussion about surplus equipment, be it in the admin building or out back or wherever. And there was always a little indifference in what are we going to do with it? When are we going to make it? You know, what can you do with it, first of all? And when do you make the decision that whether you're going to donate it, sell it, give it away, or dispose of it? The longer you have those type of things, those properties, and that goes for records as well, if you keep records past their allowable time, according to the conference, you just open yourself up for liability. And I think we're at a point where we're going to get aggressive about liquidating surplus equipment. I know that I have a guy going to give us some estimate on some monitors. I got a guy that I'm supposed to be notified when they come down to wipe out the lighthouse. Are people certified to wipe out the computers?
The hard drives.
Hard drives. And I'll coordinate that we do those and the ones in the fire at the same time.
But yeah, well, we have laptops from like 1980s.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's no good reason to put this off. There's all kinds of reasons why it's bad to have extra stuff laying around, especially when it's not worth anything. So I just want to, I think that my part of that discussion is simply it's time to kind of make things happen. Denny's supposed to be coming down to actually, when it stops snowing for more than a day, initiate the process of putting the monitors on GovDeals. He's done a lot of that for us before, and I just don't think it's worth having stuff laying around.
Well, again, this one's nice and near and dear to my heart now because I kind of got bit by this one. So we have surplus things here. Ever since I've come in here, the back room has been crowded with, you know, a pile of broken or obsolete, you know, monitors, among other things. And so I've always been a proponent to get rid of it, clean it up, sell it on GovDeals. If it's not working, to throw it away. Everything's been kind of clustered in there. And the same thing when I took over as admin of the fire department. I went in there and I was just amazed how literally like somebody just walked out the door, turned the lights off, and just left everything in there. We have computer monitors, we have shredders, we have hard drives, we have battery backups, just everywhere. So one of the things I've been here has been a proponent to getting rid of this stuff. So I kind of got burned where I would was interested in getting rid of some of these monitors. And the policy is, you know, as I understand it, if you're interested in something or you're going to be moving something, you talk to your department head or your trustee. Well, I'm the department head and the trustee for admin. And so I was interested in seeing if I can check to see if even these monitors are working or not working. And so with me being the person in charge of them, I figured I'd do my due diligence, and I informed the fiscal officer, like, hey, I'm going to see if any of these monitors work. If so, I could use one for an alternate monitor at my shop. I'll see if they work, and if so, I'll buy it off the township. Just trying to get rid of them. Pretty innocent. You know, just to do the fact that they're old and outdated, and I want to see if they even worked, I went with that. So at that same time, I asked the admin office to start doing inventory because, again, it was that time of year, forgetting Angela. And that's when Nick kind of informed me that, you know, we had a couple monitors missing. I was like, yeah, I know. I have a couple of them. And I had already just tested them. They didn't work. You know, the one turns on for a second, it flashes out, I think. So I brought them back. And then here's the kicker on one of them. And according to Nick here, one of them didn't match the inventory list. Now, to me, I don't know why. I grabbed two monitors, took them back. It's not like I had a huge surplus of them. You know, there's a reason they're on the floor, and I found out why. I did start trying to research the monitor that was missing, so I typed in the number. We organize our inventory not by serial number, but by actual model number. So when I actually typed up the model number and everything, and I started doing some research, Dell made over 10 million of those monitors that year. So there's a lot of them out there. But I found out that it's an actual big 19-inch square monitor, and I knew I didn't take a big square monitor. So when I was talking with Angela today, even Angela said she thinks that might be the one that blew up on her, because she said she had a 19-inch monitor and she's had Lighthouse take care of it. So I thought that was interesting, but it doesn't explain how we have a monitor with a different serial number. But on the other side, these things have been here, even when I talked to Angela, they've been here for as long as she can remember. So in order to not get burned by stuff like this and have an inventory that's incorrect, even though this is in a pile, even in our inventory, it's got a defunct section where it says not in use, not in use, not in use. We have values on there that are clearly wrong. And so when you have all this excess junk in there, I mean, it's literally piled in all the corners and everything like that. I have always been the proponent of let's just start getting this stuff done, you know? And I know Denny's busy with the snow moving and all that other stuff like that, but I talked with Chrissy before all this even kind of came down, and she started going and make a separate list for me, because I was going to come in towards the end of her shift and we were going to just put everything on the table, get everything ready, write it all down, and have Denny put it on GovDeals, you know, just to get rid of it, because we could actually roll around our table without hitting mm-hmm. something. So that's basically the essence of it. Now, the problem I got into, too, is an email was sent out. And, you know, I don't want to say it was accusing or anything, but, you know, things can be interpreted by the way someone paints a picture in an email. And I just felt like it wasn't fair to me, because I wasn't trying to steal a monitor. I was completely open. I told, you know, Angela, I did my due diligence, and I don't know why there's another monitor with a different serial number on there, but it sure as heck wasn't me that went and did it, and, you know, for a different monitor. And I just wanted to kind of throw that out there that, you know, won't happen again. I told Angela, I said I was going to buy one, and you know, they didn't work, and I was glad that she didn't want to, basically what she did, she didn't want to go through the paperwork to buy it and sign it out and everything. I said, well, let's just try them. And I looked in the back there's no way, I didn't want to go and unplug somebody else's computer, plug them in there, sort of thing. So that was just the harmless part of it. So, but you know, the letter just kind of shocked me a little bit. So
I think the takeaway that I could see here is just the matter of documenting more things and not taking, I don't want to say a casual approach.
It was a casual approach. But, I mean, and that's one thing I learned, like I said, but I mean, I even talked to Angela, and Angela verifies mm-hmm. with me. I said, hey, Ange, I'm just going to do this. She's like, yeah, you know, if one works, you know, just, you know, offer us a few dollars. We have to write it off. And again, it was to me, it was no big issue. It was completely open and harmless, and it could be just interpreted different ways.
In talking with Angela and other people over the years, we've just taken the approach that something's old and we've got a new computer and we've had the other computer for 5, 6, 8 years, and if somebody wanted to buy it, they could buy it. Well, because by the time it was
the date on the monitors too, I mean it's 2007.
And so. It was suggested to me that what we could do, or potentially should do, is put it up for auction. Now, you know, we could certainly do that. I don't know how much money you're going to bring in by putting it up for auction when it's a 2007 monitor. But that was one of the legal opinions that you know, we could certainly do that.
Right. If you remember several meetings ago, a gentleman expressed his concern. I think the topic at the time was the pumper. And he was like, we got to get out, you know, make sure people have opportunity to bid on it. So, you know, so, and he was like, you know, very, very logical approach to things and right. And the GovDeal thing allows us to do that with a minimal amount of effort because, you know, literally there's a picture, there's a description, and they have to come here and pick it up. If you want to offer to ship it, you can, but you don't have to. I would say the less, the better. And, you know, come and get it or not.
Or not.
And and I was talking to Chrissy this week. Chrissy and Nick, but, you know, kind of like, which side of the wall are you on? And Chrissy's like, well, what are you going to do if you get rid of all that stuff? And I said, that's just really a, you know, that's really a novel thought, talking about the building out back, because there's a lot of space back there that we've talked about what we could do, but we can't do any of it with surplus stuff there.
Well, the other thing, too, I think I made mention, we no longer have an in-house fire department. Mm-hmm. And the fire department, you know, I tried to tackle that inventory on my own with the help, you know, Matt Ventura, Angela came in, my own son, my wife, you know, just trying to walk through the building, trying to figure it out. But it's such a vast thing. So one of my goals is to simplify it. You know, mm-hmm. we have all these tables and chairs and all these things on there that we can really put in some other inventory, or if we can't figure out a purpose, sell them why they have a value. I think that's one of the biggest problems I have as a small business owner is you have all this stuff laying around for so long, the longer it lays around, it doesn't have a value. And that kind of just eats me up again, even as a taxpayer, you know what I mean? So we either have to look at finding a purpose for something or just biting the bullet and selling. Just like you and I have been working on this talk with this fire truck, you know, it's painful to see such a beautiful fire truck not getting used, but I understand things get old. And
Nick did a little bit of due diligence working on insurance companies and getting opinions, I think, back on whether we could use, because I wanted to use the truck, and I think you were wanting to use it in a community-type thing or a parade-type thing. But if I read you right, and correct me, but the bottom line was if you weren't an employee of the township, you weren't able to be insured in there. And so the idea of me taking a bunch of kids and 4th of July parade down through Medina, it wouldn't fly as a township vehicle. Right. So,
and that's sad, but I mean, I understand the idea behind, you know, the thing. Because even like when our fire department did have it, they would have Santa Claus on the back of it, and they would hand out candy at Christmas and stuff. Those are things I was thinking and stuff like that. But again, if we were to have a home days or anything like that, we couldn't be letting kids climb on it or, you know. So.
And some of the small towns that you talk to, they talked about buying old used equipment because that's all they could afford.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their whole township consists of three people, kind of thing.
Right.
And that's, again, that would make me feel better if somebody like that ends up buying it. You know, I mean, I just don't want somebody to go buy it and
scrap it out.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Or make a pizza oven out of it.
So, but yeah, so those are the things that we have learned and want to move forward with the township, stuff like that. And I hope people understand my concept of what would happen with this monitor thing. It was kind of, but it was good to bring some of these things to light, you know, because, you know, things just sitting around, inventories can get confused, can get defunct. If something burns up and is bad, it's probably thrown away, you know what I mean? And then if the person didn't do the due diligence and take it off the inventory, then we have something sitting there, and then somebody a couple years later starts looking at inventory, they're like, where are these things at? So.
You were saying something.
Mike can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that you can't buy something. You can't buy township property. The only way you can get rid of it is to auction it, destroy it, or donate it.
Correct.
So, I mean, you know, with that pumper there, if nobody's using it, I'd like to buy it for $5 myself.
No. That's why we were talking about the GovDeals thing, is because you can't just do a direct purchase.
Yeah, you can't buy township property. You can't sell it to somebody.
Yep, that's why we're doing that. So,
anything else?
I think we covered the surplus stuff.
Next one's ARC fund discussion. That one we learned a lot about.
We learned a lot about it, and Nick and I, you know, Nick's notes and my notes were a little bit different on that, and what it brought me to.
I think Nick was in my meeting.
Right, I was in the one later in the week, but I think we learned a lot, and we learned, like you said, it's very flexible compared to the initial money.
Well, we know, like, the fire department, when Chief Walters came in here and was asking about a new washing machine and stuff mm-hmm. like that, that was a no-brainer for that. It's an expensive right. object. It helps the fire department. But then we also learned that, you know, the concrete at the fire station or the switches and the light and overhang things, these are all things that can be going. We even learned that playgrounds could
right.
be allocated as public health for, you know, for the art fund. So that was, interesting.
There was a huge emphasis on community, getting the money to serve the most in the community,
right.
with health and safety being two real key targets. But that could go to the point, you know, they talked about something as much as a loader for your salt, you know, to load your trucks or.
It was
far more flexible than anybody really
and
thought.
You just
it would
have
be.
To justify your idea on how
right.
you did it, and that's where, you know, that's where she said, you know.
Now what he and I kind of try and work through right now is finding out actually when you take money from the ARPA to utilize it like we're talking about, there very well may be a situation you have to make a resolution for each one, which causes Angela a lot of grief. So we're trying to find out if that's in fact what has to happen. Am I kind of right?
That's
actually the resolution 012.
Correct.
Written in that are seven different projects that ARP money can be used for.
Right. And they're all detailed. So
they're all detailed, where the money's going, right. what it's for, how much it is. And any traditional government service provided by
mm-hmm.
the local government, you could use the ARP money
right.
for. So, I mean, like I was saying, if Denny's crew went in and, you know, scraped up the gravestones every year, ARP money could be used for that because it's a traditional government service. If he
right.
never did it before, you can't use that money for him to go do it the first time.
Right. It was like a guy wanted to do a maintenance in addition to a cemetery in my session. Yeah, absolutely. Another guy said, "Well, it's great because we want to start a cemetery." She goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! You're starting a cemetery? That's something new. We can't,
but they
can't
also,
do that."
They also said you can use the funds for fixing the roads and stuff like that too with the service department. You know, so you know. So I think it'll be easy. It's a lot easier to use up the money because at first I was trying to when we saw that money, it's like
in good ways.
In good ways, yes.
Right.
I mean,
I think we talked about and. We'll put some more of this together in a more formal setting. Well, I'll tell you what, ARP fund, yeah, that's what we're talking about. That legal firm that was down there, I was really impressed with them. They
mm-hmm.
are being used by other people in the county, other townships.
And I'm happy with their rate.
Their rate was great,
They made a deal with OTA to lower their rate, so.
And so it is spending a lot of money if you look at it from that perspective, but again, when I look at the $900,000 that we're dispensing, think it would be really a good investment for the
would this be just to utilize them to make sure we're utilizing the money in the proper fashion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
They even said I could build a new town hall with it.
Easy, Jack.
it'll be a very small one for $100,000.
All right.
Fun. We have trustee liaison discussion here. I think we kind of talked about that a bit. Is there any more
so.
To go in there?
No, I apologize. I jumped on it early in the trustee comments.
Yeah, I mean, again, the trustee, it's different. With the police department, you have a police chief, department head. You know, in the service department, you got Denny, who's a department head. So they have somebody to report to that's there 20, you know, the whole entire time that they're there. I have a unique situation with my department where I'm the department head and the liaison, which is a little different, you know, because there's nobody to report directly to while it's there at the office. So that's why I'm trying to work with Nick, Chrissy, Elaine, just with kind of keeping me in the loop because, again, I'm not here. I don't
right.
know what's going on. So just having constant communications. I run my own company, so I kind of inform them that if I can get an email early or late, because I check my emails in the beginning of the morning and at the day, or if not, I have two phones. One's a trustee phone. You can try that one first, but if not, I'll have my phone on me. Just because I'm, you know, I'm up on a ladder or doing something, I'm not going to have phone sticking out all over me, but I'm very accessible. But, you know, basically the things that we need is if schedules are not going to be worked to the schedule, just let me know. If you got to go home or you're sick or anything, it's just good to let me know. Overtime, it's getting close, just let me know. Like I said, I don't find a problem with most of it. It's just trying to stay involved and trying to do my job as a trustee is just keep me informed and, you know, just work like that. So Elaine calls me, Chrissy calls me, Nick has been emailing me, just let me know, which I appreciate. And so I think we're kind of getting that knuckle down and just trying to make life easier and trying to be more informed. But there's just so much stuff going on that, you know, just that helps a lot. All right.
I'll just say, first of all, it's really a pleasure working with the chief. And maybe I should have brought this up under trustee comments, but I'll do it now with the liaisons. We've got very few people that are on salary. And like the chief and the lieutenant, and is there anybody else?
Us.
Well,
us. In my professional career and talking to other police departments and talking to people outside of the police entities, nobody basically has their salary people punching in. And I would really like to consider changing, you know, I guess we might have to, amend something in a contract somewhere. But I would really like to change that. I don't see any reason for these people to punch in. I'm getting emails from the chief at all sorts of hours of the day. So I'm really not very worried about whether he's working or not. They still punch into this county system. So I'd like to really consider that, see what we have to do, and then amend that for down the road. I'd like those people to be able to just come to work and do their job, not worry about punching in.
I think where we need to spearhead that at this point would be with paychecks, because we got to make sure that, you know, their accruals are
right. I was gonna say,
nothing matters to the hours right now. It's so much a year, so it should not. None of the punch in, punch out should apply to them.
Yeah, you're not making extra overtime. You're not making extra sick time. You're not making any vacation time.
And if we are able to be successful with that scheduling program, that takes care
of the
other one, that aspect. So,
I mean, there are a couple other police departments out there doing the same thing, right? So,
well, there's other police departments that nobody in the department punches in.
None of
the officers.
A lot of departments are like that, like Homestead Township. I mean, is out there for 27 years. And no one ever.
Well, I don't think we're there yet for that one. Just because, we're trying to change the culture and, trying to recover from.
We're taking baby steps, but I think that this is.
No, but I can't be happier. I appreciate you.
I think that this is just one.
Baby steps. Yep.
One step towards it.
All right.
And then the police department they have to step up and they have to show that they're truly professional, every one of them.
Appreciate that.
That's
good. All right, I'm gonna make a motion.
If I may, real quick, I should have piped up when you're talking about the surplus.
Okay.
And just to clarify, I think Nick's comments were correct, but in your discussion, I think that the authorization for getting rid of any surplus equipment has to be made by the trustees as a whole.
As a resolution, I think, also.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and I just wanted to clarify that because I didn't know whether you were.
I knew that. We've done it before. I knew that.
Yeah.
My big thing is I didn't want to go through the whole process if it didn't work. You know what I mean?
No, I understand.
And that's
but
why.
Nevertheless, mm-hmm. you still would, the trustees would still have to make the determination that it was of no value.
Mm-hmm.
And then approve the disposal of it.
Well, right, okay.
So I'm just clarifying a little bit. I agree that determination has to be made, but one trustee cannot make the determination ultimately.
No,
you report back to the other trustees.
We've done this a couple times.
You have to inventory it, you have to list it, and then by motion all the trustees together make the decision. But like so many of your other things, you know, one of you is responsible, brings it to the trustees, and you all vote on it. But the final decision is the board's itself, not any individual. So that's the only thing I wanted to clarify.
Right, and I just want to clarify, too, is we knew that, and the process was, let's see if it works even before we go through that whole headache.
No, and that's fine.
And that was what it was, because we've done this with some stuff with...
And you've answered the question in my mind, and so you are clear on that.
Right, well, because I'm working really hard with the fire department, too, of getting rid of stuff, and we've already taken, like, you know, at least six loads.
Heck, at home, I don't have to report to anybody, and I have a hard time inventorying getting rid of things.
Yeah, I have an inventory manager over here.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I appreciate that. Like I said,
Subcontractor.
All right. So next on our agenda is executive session to discuss an employee discipline. So at this time, I would like to make a motion to go into executive session to discuss employee discipline with the three trustees, and I'm assuming Mike Lyons?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Second.
All right. Can I get a roll call?
Johnson.
Hi.
This is Christopher.
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood.
Aye.
All right, the time is now 8:06. This meeting is in...
That's the word. Going into executive session.
Executive session. Okay, the time is now 8:46, and the three trustees, with the help of Mike Lyons, have returned from their executive session. Do we want to go straight to public comment, or do we want to just continue with trustee comments first?
We just have a few minutes on trustee comments?
Sure, I got a couple things.
Recently got some information on I think we all got the information on Verizon's increases and so forth and what we were paying in various places. Yeah.
Armstrong,
thank you. Thank
the
you.
Other Verizon.
Yeah. I'm a little thick-headed sometimes, but, So in the process, I made some phone calls, and one of the things that I picked up on is that we're paying a pretty good price for an internet service, I believe, for this building out back, for the fire. And we also have a upgraded fiber or internet service here, and I'm I'd like to check with Larry and find out if that's even needed back there. I think it was enough that if it's not needed, we shouldn't have it. If it is needed, there is some technology allows you to take the internet from here and radio it to there without the second feed. I would want to check and make sure all that was on the up and up with Armstrong.
Well, we even asked Chief over there if they even use the internet, because those computers are so old. I don't even know if, I mean, my computer that I still use today doesn't like all the new internet stuff, and it's not as old as those.
I get calls when their server goes down. I get calls from the city fire department saying, hey, their service down, could you send somebody from Armstrong out there and fix it?
What do they do with it?
And
you know?
Don't know how they use it.
Yeah. Well, I want to check that out a little bit.
When I was cleaning and doing stuff, I mean, I'll hear the radio pop off on there, but I've never seen a computer on or anything else.
They might use it for their radio communications.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
And then, you know, if we can feed off the same system, that would still be an idea.
Just run an Ethernet cable.
I think.
Yeah, that was kind of like one thing I had. Anything else from you? All right.
Nope.
So at this time, I'd like to make a motion to open up for our final public comment.
A second.
Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Do we have anybody in the public that would like to comment on anything?
On behalf of the public here, no comment.
I'd like to say something.
Yes.
Since I do work here and people do come in, some people have come in because of the fire department sign.
Yes.
And there is a red sign right out by the driveway here and another one there that says fire department.
Yes.
And I mean, people come in and say, wait, oh, I have some cookies for the firemen, can you take these? Which is nice, but if there was an emergency or something and somebody came in here and said, you know, I need a fire department right away, There's an empty building over there.
It's kind of misleading, in other words.
A lot of townships, though, have like volunteer fire departments that aren't staffed to put a fire. And because we had commented on this, the reason I made the sign that I donated over at building Fire Station 6 was because they were called, they saw the fire station, and they were reading the number as a 2. You know what I mean? And that was where I was kind of concerned. It's the same thing like with you here is...
And it's not the sign that's on the door there. It's the signs that are out by the street.
So you're thinking about getting rid of those?
Either, you know, qualify them somehow by saying, you know, unmanned fire department.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. I don't know about removing it, but maybe the unmanned part I can see or not staffed.
Maybe, you know, rather than wait for a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I never really paid attention to
it. I could see the scenario of somebody driving by and just thinking that's one of the fire departments. And if they ever did need something, you know, hopefully somebody would be here to call for help, you know, but I think it's
a
noteworthy thought.
Well, the other thing, too, speaking of that, is a good point. Maybe we make a sign that can go over there just in case somebody goes to knock over there, a big enough sign that says, this is a non-man, call this number, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so.
If they ever go back that far, if they don't just come in here. Thank you, Nick.
Is there a fire department?
I would hope that they punch 911.
That is a working fire department, so when they have a call and it's in this area, they'll have people drive here with their trucks, they jump in the vehicles, and then they meet them. Like, so especially like with anything on the 71 and stuff like that, this is the closest area.
Yeah.
They keep our heavy rescue usually over at 6, which is on Nettleton, right by 71. So it just kind of gives them some versatility. And, you know, a few of the Medina firemen keep their stuff in there because it's their station, you know, for those guys. So each guy's got their own little thing.
It's a backup to the backup.
Yeah. I mean, we would prefer to not have it as so much of a backup because we kind of live in this area, you know, but we understand that you can only, you know, foot so many people. So, and these are discussions that were ongoing with improving the building or getting rid of the building and new facilities and, you know, just trying to modernize and stuff. And that's why we put the Station 7 on there too and the Station 6 just to try to incorporate them into all the stations of the city because this to us was 1 and the other one was 2. And if somebody called and said, hey, I'm at Fire Station 1 and there's an emergency, they could think it's their Station 1. So we wanted to clearly mark it. So, all right. Anything else from the public? All right, so at this time, I'd like to make a motion to close public comment number 2.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
Okay, so at this time, there's nothing else before the board?
Motion to adjourn.
I second that.
Oh, there we go. I made a motion to adjourn.
All right, can I get a roll call?
You did.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
I was waiting to make a motion all night.
Oh, the time is now 8:53. I call the meeting.
Be careful going to your vehicles. Don't want any lawsuits from stage 2 terror weather. Thank you very much.